I did watch service last week. We're in Florida, had a wonderful time, and what a blessing to be part of Hope Church and part of Hope at Home for that Sunday. And I'm glad to be back this week. And so this is our second week. We're studying the book of Jonah. Last week, the topic was you can run, but you can't hide. And we talked about Jonah and how it relates to us. It's pretty clear that God has a plan for our lives. And when we choose not to do that plan, it's sin. And sin has consequences, like the man who couldn't find a parking spot and he decided to park in a no parking zone. And he wrote this on his windshield: I have circled the block at least 20 times. I have an appointment to keep. Forgive us our trespasses. When he returned, he found a ticket on his car that said, I've circled the block for 22 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I lose my job. Lead us not into temptation. And God so much wants to be part of our lives. And I want you to understand today that we're following up. Jonah ran from God, but then God ran after Jonah. Jonah ran from God, but God did not give up. And this is what the scripture says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Again, is it possible for a human being to be swallowed by a fish, be inside that fish for 3 days and survive? We talked a little bit about this 2 weeks ago. And somebody once asked Jay Kessler, he's the former president of Youth for Christ International, if he believed that this could actually be possible, being a college president. There's no way I can compete with a cute kid. And I told somebody this morning, I said, I love that we have so many kids at Hope Church. If that offends you, that a little kid makes noise, well, then I'm glad that you're offended, because I'm not. Although I can't compete with that. That's way cuter than I am. So this is what a college president says, who obviously has an above average intellect. He said, we are able to split the atom, go to the moon. And he responds like this. Dr. Kessler replies in one simple argument, I trust God. And let me tell you, I not only believe that God can make such a fish, but the God who created the sun, the moon, and the stars, if he wanted to, he could air condition and carpet the fish, because that's how big God is. And I thought that was a good response. We look in chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and the Lord heard me. It's a pretty significant verse when we think about Jonah just absolutely running from God, and now he's willing to pray. I think I would have been willing to pray as well. I mean, he's in quite an environment. I try to picture, what does it look like to be inside a fish? I don't know. I mean, like, there's no windows. I have no idea, but I think Jonah is excited. Just a prayer of, okay, I'm still alive. He didn't drown. He was gulped up in the most spectacular way. And he literally, he didn't die, but he came face to face with what it looked like to die. Inside a fish, in rebellion, God heard his prayer. Think about that. Jonah absolutely rejected God's plan, said, just take my life before I go and do what God wants me to do. In his rebellion, God provides a fish, and in that fish, Jonah somehow comes to his senses and he prays. And the God who cares and the God who can heard him. Our sin is never too great, and our predicament is never too hard for God Almighty to hear us. Jonah goes on to say, "You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, 'Oh Lord, you have driven me from your presence. Yet I will look once more towards your holy temple.' I sank beneath the waves, and the water closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountain. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you and your holy temple." What an amazing God we serve. What an amazing transformation. But there came that point in Jonah's life where he had to go back to where he was and say, "God, let's try this again." This week, we rented this super cool Jeep, and we were driving it around, and like I was feeling pretty cool. When we left the airport, I said, "Hey, do you think this thing can jump like 8 feet in the air?" And the guy looked at me, he's like, "You're way too old for that." And so we're driving this thing, and all of a sudden, it overheats. Now, I had no idea that a Jeep has kind of a concealed cooling system. Like, there's not a radiator cap. You drive the Jeep for about 100,000 miles, and then you take it to the dealer, and they redo that for you. But our Jeep was pegging, you know, the little H. It doesn't stand for heaven right there, although I think the motor was about, well, there's another, that motor was not going to heaven. But it was so hot, and it started to go, and I thought, uh-oh. So I called the rented a car company, and oh, if you've ever had to do that, "Sir, do you feel safe?" "I feel annoyed." "Yes, I feel safe." "Are you sure you're in a safe environment?" "I'm in a parking lot. The car is overheated. We're on vacation. I'm annoyed." "Sir, are you safe?" "Not, no, I'm about ready to keel over. My blood pressure is going up." And they're like, "Okay, we'll send a tow truck." "Okay, and we'll bring another car." "Fantastic. How long will that take?" "We don't know." "Okay." "The airport is about 15 minutes from where I'm at. Can you get there, sir?" "I don't know. Do you feel safe?" I don't know. I said, "All right, if the car blows up, whose responsibility is it?" "I don't know, sir. Let me check." "Sir, I believe it's our responsibility." "Okay. I'm going to drive back to the airport." "No joke. Do you feel safe?" Oh my gosh, Lord, help me. And so we take off. I think the car's going to blow up. I mean, it's like the H, and it couldn't go any hotter. There's like fans going on that I've never heard in a car. And then there's an eek! Like, oh my goodness, Lord. So we turn on, you know, the heat. You know, this is what you do like with an old 57 Chevy. I don't know if it works with a new car. I'm just trying things. It's only like 110 out. So we turn the heat all the way up. And the car seems like it's losing power. This is a problem. But thankfully, we made it back. And then they actually gave us a cool Jeep. The first one, I think they gave us the one that they knew was going to blow up and figured that it could happen on us. But then they gave us like a super cool Jeep. And here's my point. Jonah, and in your life, sometimes things are broken. And you can't keep going. With our car, if we would have driven back to our hotel, it would have blown up on us. I mean, I don't mean like literally blown up, but the engine would have seized because it was way too hot. And I think in life there's this point where we realize, I just can't keep going like I'm going. Because the harder I try, the worse it gets. And the only way that our car dilemma was fixed was to go back where we got it and trade it for a new one. You know what Jonah did? He said, my way didn't work. If God will hear my prayer, I'm praying. And there comes a point with us, is it really working the way we want it to work? And the beautiful thing that I know about the Lord that we see here, that we see throughout the entire Bible, is that if we go back to God, He absolutely wants to hear our prayers. And with Jonah and in life, there are times where life throws us a big time curve. And life isn't always easy. And for Jonah, it wasn't easy either. Imagine being thrown into the sea because he did not want to do what God wanted him to do. And in verse 3, it talks about the waves and breakers that swept over him. Do you know that those belonged to God? And he finally came to grips with the author of life, who was also the author of the waves, who was also the author of the fish. All of that was to help Jonah realize, I have a plan for your life and you matter. Martin Luther wrote this, Jonah doesn't simply say, the mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Your wild and stormy waves. God sent those. So Jonah had to make a choice to come back to God. In chapter 2, verse 8, it says, those who worship false gods turn their back on all God's mercies. There's no idol in that day. There's no worthless statue that could do what God did. Jonah goes on and he says this, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows. For my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out on the beach. It's amazing to me that God talked to this fish and it obeyed him. And God gives the fish his assignment, swallow Jonah, then throw up Jonah. And there's a word here in the Hebrew, it's a disgusting word. This is actually translated, the fish vomited up Jonah. I'm just going to say for a moment, I feel bad for that fish. He had to swim around for 3 days with a foreign object in his gut. Was that fish not hungry? Have you ever felt sorry for the fish? None of you have. None of you even care about this beautiful sea creature. 3 days he had this fish with Jonah inside of it. And I think when he threw up Jonah, I think he tail swatted him. And I think he said, next time you're mine. Poor fish. Interestingly, that one author writes this. He makes the assertion that Jonah landed on the beach where he started, near Joppa. God brought him back to the place where he went off track. Jonah was returned to the dry land, completing the rescue of God. This is probably when the fish ejects Jonah, probably one of the happiest parts of this entire book. That now Jonah is safe, and now Jonah is going to again talk to God and say, okay. What do we learn about Jonah and the miracle of chapter 2? There's God's grace that's huge. There's praise and thanksgiving that comes from Jonah because he literally once was going to drown and die. And God brings him back to life. There's deliverance. There's new hope. There's this prophet who's pouting and doesn't want to do what God wants him to do. And can I say this? Sometimes it's not easy to do what God calls you to do. I think when I first became a Christian, people would say, oh, your whole life's going to be good now. And I don't think that was right. It's not been easy for me to learn how to pray. It wasn't easy when we first started to tithe. It was terribly hard the first time that God asked me to speak in front of a group of people. And it's still hard. I mean, God, why would you ever use me? And if you're really going to follow God and you're really going to have some depth in your relationship with God, then there's risk involved. There just is. I remember with Hope Church when the Lord spoke to me in India and said, I want you to build 10 churches in India. And I came back and told the elders, and all of us thought it was a bad idea. We had no money to do that. And I hadn't had a raise for a couple of years. I'm not complaining. It's just how life goes sometimes. And I remember I had to say, I don't very often say God said this, but God said this. And I remember going to a sporting goods store and selling a bunch of my hunting gear. And guys were asking, man, why are you selling this? Oh, I'm building churches in India. And they're like, okay. They paid me cash. I sold all that stuff. But now there are 10 churches in India that are full every Sunday, and God gets the glory for that. But somebody had to step up and say, we're going to do what God wants us to do. And this is where Jonah had a problem. God, I'm not going to do it. And in the midst of Jonah not doing it, God said, well, it's not going to be easy if you choose against me. And Jonah said, I'm not only going to choose against you, I'm going to end it all. And God said, you can run, but you can't hide. And when Jonah ran from God, God ran after Jonah. What a beautiful God. God so much cares for you and cares for me. He went to great lengths for you and I to come to know his son. It's interesting that Jonah had no control and the fish had no control and the waves had no control. Do you know who had control? God Almighty. Jonah spent 3 days in a fish until he figured it out. It's really not about just the rebellion of Jonah. It's about the sovereignty of God. Now, fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus also went to great depths that you and I might have a Savior. Jesus went to great depths to die on a cross so you may never perish, but have everlasting life in him. And there was a huge price to pay. A huge price that Jesus paid. I wrote this last thought. Jonah's story began with a tragedy, but the greater tragedy would have happened if God would have allowed him to keep running. The greater tragedy would have happened if God would have let him keep running. So did God bring the waves? Did God bring the pain? Did God bring the fish? 100% yes. But it was all to give Jonah an opportunity to turn his life back to God. Chapter 1, we read that Jonah ran from God. And you and I can run, but we can't hide. Chapter 2, we really see that God runs after Jonah, and then Jonah ran back to God. It's beautiful next week when we look at chapter 3, when we don't see Jonah running from God, we don't see Jonah running to God, we see Jonah running with God and following God's plan. So the question for you and me today is simply this. Are we allowing the sovereignty of God to move in our lives to such a point that we're actually being used for Him? Somebody said, you're not saved by works, and you're not. But if you really know the Lord, He works in us, and then He works through us. And that's where a lot of people get hung up and have immature Christian faith. God gives them so much and they keep taking it in, but there's never an outlet for their faith. I don't know how many times I've told you this. Every week I go back to the nursery and I thank them. I'm so thankful that the people up front led us in worship today. I'm so thankful that somebody cleaned today. I'm so thankful that somebody, and you are too, provided coffee and donuts today. I'm so thankful that we have Connect Group leaders who really take it seriously. I love our Connect Group. I'm so thankful for you, but I want to encourage you, God didn't just come into your life so you could sit and enjoy. God came into your life so that you could make a difference. God has a purpose for you and for me. He really does. And the most fulfillment I've ever found in life is not just accepting God, but to realize that God accepts me. And not only does He accept me, He wants to take my flaws, He wants to take my hurt, He wants to take the things I've done well and use them for His glory. And He wants to do the same for you. None of us are too far for God to use us. None of us are too backwards for God to set us straight and to help us. If He can save Jonah from inside a fish, He can use you and me. Let's pray together. God, I thank You. This is quite a sobering chapter. When we think about Your sovereignty, You allowed hard times in Jonah's life so he would turn back to You. You were punishing him for his good and for his future. God, I pray for each one here today, all of those at home watching, Lord, that You would remind us, not just that we have to come to know You, that there is a sovereign God who allowed His Son to die for us, but there still is a work to be done. There still are people who don't know about Jesus. There are co-workers and there are classmates. There are neighbors, God, who need to know about You. And I pray, God, that You would use us, that we would find the greatest purpose in life is to fulfill Your plan for our lives. So God, each one, God, I pray that You would bless them to the point that it overflows in their life, God, that people will see Your good works in us and ask us about You because of how we live. God, thank You for your word and the truth and the sovereignty that we find in knowing you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.